Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan. And this is not Lynette Morgan. I'm Jerry Berg, longtime sidekick.
I noticed you weren't wearing a dress today.
No. Well, I don't wear one ever, actually.
Oh, all right.
Not just today.
Okay. Well, it's, I'm noticing you're not Lynette.
Yeah, I'm still hoping for higher temperatures, so I'm wearing my shorts, my summer shorts. But I have a warning, a Washington State Fair warning to broadcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If you're going out there and taking the family, better make sure you've increased the limit on your credit card before you go.
Okay.
Just an example. I don't know what they were earlier. About $12, I think. But turkey legs, barbecue turkey legs, are now $20. Everything else is pretty much doubled in cost.
Or tripled.
Yeah. And it's inflation, and then there's
it's
more.
Fair.
There's a, yeah. On top of that, and then the food isn't all that great, even though when you're hungry and walking around, all of the smells and the things of the fair make you want to eat just about everything in sight.
But see, we always have an elephant ear when we go to the fair.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our fair treat. We do an elephant ear.
Yeah.
Or my daughter will get the chili cheese fries.
Yeah.
So,
and
those are our big treats.
One of the traditions in Washington, of course, are the scones.
Yeah, I don't do the scones.
I have a memory of the prices of scones. They were 75 cents and they were $1.25, and I thought that was terrible. Now they're $3.
For a scone.
For a scone.
All right, well.
Well, guess what I had this last time I went, which was this last week?
What?
One.
All right. One is a serving anyway, Jerry. You don't need more than one.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I eat when I walk around most of the day, and then maybe one onion burger, for 7 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, that's pretty much it. But,
the thing I noticed, we took our daughter to the fair 2 or 3 weeks ago. We did on the opening day.
Yeah.
We were there on opening day. And she wanted to do that slingshot.
Oh, yes, yeah.
The thing that throws you up 250 feet in the air and spins you.
It goes off about every 45 seconds. Yeah. Well, maybe not that fast. But
it's
minute and a half,
$60.
Yeah.
$60 for one ride.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
And a few screams. And
yep.
Yeah.
So it throws you up in the air and you bounce a few times and come down for $60. I said, holy mackerel.
So to get me on it, a person would have to pay the $60 for
to
me.
You.
And then they would have to give me another maybe $250,000 to get on it.
Yeah, well, my little 10-year-old loved it. In fact, she came back down and her first thought, she didn't even get off. She said, Daddy, can I do it again? Can I do it again? Well, they let you do it the second time for $20.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I said, okay, for 20, I'll spring.
Yeah.
But if they were going to hit me for 60 again, I was going to shout no, 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 no.
Yeah, that's quite a ride, and it's not like it used to be. It used to be a rubber band ride, and it's not anymore. It's real cables and springs.
Yep, and it actually the tower is 150 feet, but it throws you 100 feet above the tower.
Yeah.
So it's a 250 foot slingshot. They throw you up in the air.
Yeah.
Spinning head over heels as you go. Okay. I used to jump out of airplanes. but I usually, you know, spread my arms and legs and stabilized so I could see where the hell I was going.
And, you know, it was a skill. Now you're along for the ride with somebody else in control, and I'm not good with someone else in control.
No.
Oh, well. So let's get back to the phone calls. And Charlie in Buckley's been waiting the longest and wants to talk to you about a hip replacement recovery. So let's go down to Buckley now. And Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Dr. Mixon and Jerry.
How can we help you, sir?
Oh, well, my wife just had a hip replacement, and is it possible that you could tell me, like, she got to quit taking all her vitamins and stuff. You know, she just says they don't help or anything. Is there any advice on healing for vitamins or that she should be taking?
Yes, several things, although not necessarily vitamins. First of all, the surgeons are, I don't know how to say this politely, so I won't. Surgeons tend to be appallingly ignorant about vitamins and supplements. They just don't know anything about them at all.
Yeah. So just stop them.
So their rule is stop everything. That's just the way they go. So everybody getting surgery ends up stopping everything, whether they really needed to or not. And some things, it makes sense. You know, you don't want things that are going to inhibit clotting. You know, if you're going to have surgery, you want to clot well. You don't want to have a bleeding problem. So things like the omegas and very high dose resveratrol and those sorts of things, you should stop. But other things, you know, if you're on your vitamin D and your vitamin C, et cetera, there's no reason to stop those things. But they just say stop it all because they don't know any better. The biggest single thing I can tell her, and I'm assuming you are a gentleman of some mature years. And so your wife is also probably a woman of some mature years. Unless you're like me and you marry him a generation or two younger.
I did the opposite.
I see. All right.
It's hard to find a real beautiful lady, you know, at my age. So, I went a little older.
Okay, why not? But we older folks, people over 60, need extra protein to heal.
Sure.
Okay, a 60-year-old needs twice as much protein as a 20-year-old to get the same healing in their muscles and ligaments and tendons. So I would say make sure she's getting plenty of protein in her diet. And if she doesn't want to increase, you know, her tofu or her meat, get her an amino acid supplement, the stuff the bodybuilders use. You go to the store, it comes in a great big bag or a great big container, and it's basically hydrolyzed proteins. And they've broken the protein down to the primary amino acids. And those are very rapidly and very easily absorbed into the system. So you can mix it with milk or almond milk or anything you want and just drink it as a drink supplement once or twice a day. And that'll dramatically increase her usable protein intake.
I see. You know, what it is too right now is before, I mean, this has been going on for years, you know, the pain and sure enough, I mean, it was really bad where the ball socket is, you know, engaged in the hip. But anyway, the thing is, I know that she started compensating with that hip, and she would get the pain alongside of her shin. I know that's what she was doing, compensating to keep. And so that's still there. And I know they stretch muscles and suture them back together, and maybe tendons and ligaments.
Yep.
The thing is, she's on Eliquis, and of course she stopped, you know, the Eliquis before the surgery.
Yes.
So the other thing is there any type of? I heard you tell a man, pomegranate juice is a good anti-inflammation.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Is there other? Go ahead.
All of the deeply pigmented fruits and vegetables are very potent anti-inflammatories. So pomegranate juice, blackberries, blueberries, and you can get those as the whole fruits, or you can drink it as the juices. Drinking it as juice is very high calorie, so you better cut down on your eating a bit to compensate. But yeah, if it is deep pink, red, blue, green, orange, those are the things you want to be eating, because those are the colors of the polyphenols that will decrease inflammation.
I see. The other thing is, since she's on Eliquis, she's got to take Tylenol. And I know Tylenol just tells your brain nothing's wrong, versus, you know, your aspirin and ibuprofen actually go down and do something. Is there any other medication she could take and help the pain? I mean, she's got oxycodone. I give her a 2.5 deal for her to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Because that knocks her out. She takes oxycodone 2.5 milligrams, and she's out and gone for 10 hours.
Yeah.
So is there any other kind of medication that she could use?
Once she's about 10 days or so after surgery, I don't worry about things like aspirin anymore, because, you know, any bleeding has long since stopped. So aspirin is fine once you get a week or 10 days after surgery. But
even though
if she goes back on her Eliquis, now she's got, you know, two anti-clotting agents, and that always increases the risk of bleeding for strokes and so on. So, but if she goes back on the Eliquis, she shouldn't need any of the other anti-clotters. Just the fruits, the veggies, and a good protein load. That's probably the best you're going to do for her right now.
Good. I'll go to the next door and pick a bunch of blackberries. So,
all right.
I thank you for your advice.
You're welcome,
and,
sir.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, take care, sir. Yep. Bye-bye.
And be sure and take the heavy gloves.
That's right.
Blackberries leave marks.
Boy, they do.
Yeah. Okay, it's time to take a break. Come back. David, Mark, and Rick are waiting in the wings, and we're going to get to you in just a second. We'll jump out of here really quick. Go to lmclinic.com, check out the free health analysis appointment. You don't get much for free anymore, but this really is all the way free. So all you need to do is sign up at the website and go to your favorite clinic, one closest to your home at the time that you've selected, and you can get tested. And it doesn't hurt. You've heard that before if you listen to the program very much.
Yep.
Anyway. So, we'll be right back. Certainly doesn't hurt your pocketbook.
It's free.
Sure. Yep. Okay, we'll be right back with more of Leading Edge Medicine right here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. And that phone number, we do have a line open right now, 1-888-312-5757. We'll be right back.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that, so I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
That's the inspirational message that we're getting from the White House now.
Yeah, don't bring me down.
Don't
bother me with facts.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we could say that on KVI.
We can say that.
Yeah.
I say it anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, and this is Leading Edge Medicine, the live interactive talk radio. We have three calls on the waiting line right now in the waiting room. David in Woodinville, Mark in his car, and Rick in Seattle. I hope we get to Mark before he gets to Portland.
Let's see if we can just zip right along
here.
Yeah,
well, let's go right into the call from David in Woodinville right now and see what David has on his mind today. Hi, David.
Hello, David in Woodinville.
Hi, Dr. Jerry and Jerry. And I wanted to ask you about, I have diabetes, and there's certain things I've read about that supposedly are beneficial for your energy and diabetes. One was D-ribose. I wanted to ask you about that first.
Okay. I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Oh, yes. D-ribose. I guess it says something.
D-ribose.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, for some reason it wasn't registering.
Okay. Oh, it's my southern accent.
All right. Well, D-ribose is a sugar. It's a simple sugar. It's a carbohydrate that human beings don't metabolize very well. And so, you know, basically, it is a genetic modulator. You can use, if you can break down enough of the D-ribose, you'll use it to help, your DNA, RNA repair. But that's about it. I can't see that there's a whole lot of use that the average person is going to get here. I guess maybe you'll get a little mitochondrial boost out of it. Maybe. I think that's kind of iffy. So
okay.
What brings up D-ribose for you?
Well, in a number of these books that the doctors have out, they've really liked it. I guess the main thing was that it was a 5-part instead of 6, and your body used for energy, but it didn't go and turn into the negative side of sugars. But that's I like to know what you think on things. And of course, the next one is getting a little more popular, and that's the Ceylon cinnamon.
Yes. Well. For diabetics, certainly cinnamon helps to lower blood sugar. Mm-hmm. And that's been pretty well established for 10, 15 years now.
Great.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of cinnamon.
Okay, and the Ceylon one supposedly had less negative impact from overuse or something than the other ones, according to...
Cinnamon is basically a tree bark to start with. So, you know, it's a function in part of where the cinnamon trees are growing, how much rain, what it's fertilized with. Anytime you're dealing with a true botanical like that, effectiveness is going to be variable based on when, where, how it was grown, how it was harvested, how it was processed. With cinnamon, it's usually pretty simple, the processing. They just grind it into a powder. So that's pretty basic. There's not a lot of processing going on with cinnamon.
And another one you think a lot of, and I do too, is berberine. And years ago in San Diego, I went to a specialist on diabetes, and they had never even heard of berberine, and I'd been using it for a while then. But
I've seen most of the studies on berberine show that it's somewhat effective. I did see one study several years ago that swore that milligram for milligram, it was almost as effective as the metformin. So berberine, for people that don't want to be on medications, is one of the things we start our diabetics and our pre-diabetics on pretty hefty doses. You know, 1,000 milligrams twice a day is not at all unreasonable.
Okay. Is there any such thing as... adult onset of type 1 diabetes?
Sure.
Yeah. How do you know which you have? I've been treated for years for type 2, and I heard that the other day, and I thought, well, wonder if I might have that.
Well, type 1 diabetes is basically defined these days as anyone who's dependent on insulin. because you're no longer producing enough insulin to keep up with your resistance. So, you know, used to be we had type 1 diabetes that was genetically coded. Kids would be born diabetic. And that was just the only kind of diabetes we saw that you needed insulin for. And then we had the diabetes of, quote, old age, the senile diabetes, which we now call type 2. And that's because we almost never saw that form until people were in their late 60s or 70s. But with the growth of obesity in America, we're now seeing type 2 diabetes. We've changed the name because it's no longer just old folks. We're now seeing type 2 diabetes in teenagers because the obesity epidemic is basically making people so insulin resistant that their pancreas can't produce enough insulin to handle the sugar load anymore. And so you're becoming a type 2 diabetic in people's teens and 20s and 30s.
Wow.
Yeah. And now some of those type 2 diabetics basically over time are burning out their pancreas. The pancreas where the insulin is being produced, they develop so much insulin resistance that the pancreas is working harder and harder and harder and harder, kicking out more and more and more insulin, trying to keep up with the sugar load. And finally, it just burns out and quits. And now you've actually got to give what was previously a type 2 diabetic insulin. And if you want to call that now a type, you know, a late stage type 1 diabetic because they've become insulin dependent due to pancreatic failure, you can. I've also seen people with abdominal trauma, auto accidents and so on, that traumatize their pancreas severely, become type 1 diabetics in later life just because of the fact that the injury to the pancreas resulted in its inability to produce enough insulin.
Wow. Well, Dr. Jerry, I thank you so much for your time and your information, and my wife and I love your program.
Well, thank you, sir. Glad you listened to us. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And let's grab another call before we run into the break here and go to Mark, who's talking from his car. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Quick question about testosterone supplements.
Okay.
I'm 64 year old, and I'm about 237, and I want to drop about 20, 25 pounds, increase my muscle mass, and I'm also recently whittled. So at some point in the future, I remarry. I want to be able to take care of things.
Okay.
Okay.
What would you suggest?
Well, I don't. I've got an echo here suddenly.
I've got an echo here suddenly.
Have you got your radio turned on or something?
Your radio turned on or something?
Or is this something they just did at the studio?
They just did at the studio.
Now my radio's not on.
Mr. Engineer?
Okay. Mr. Engineer, okay.
I've got about a
3 or 4 second delay, and then I hear myself. But I'm not hearing an echo from the corner. So. All right, when you talk about testosterone supplementation, are you talking about over-the-counter supplements to raise your testosterone, or are you talking about supplemental testosterone,
so testosterone
in which someone writes you a prescription?
Right now, just over-the-counter.
Okay.
I hadn't thought about any prescription.
All right. The over-the-counter supplements, there are some like Terestalis that will raise testosterone levels 12-13%. It is a real raise, but it's not that dramatic. For instance, you're in your 60s. I'm going to guess that if you're having having problems, your testosterone, free testosterone is probably going to be in the 50s or 60s. Whereas in a young man, a free testosterone will be up around 200. Okay, so old men have very low testosterone compared to kids. If you're running, say, 50, and we give you a 12 or 13% raise, you're now up around 55 or 56. You're nowhere near that 200 that the kid is at. All right. So yes, supplements will raise testosterone, but they don't raise it enough to really make a giant impact in your physiology. If you really are running low testosterone, far more effective is to just get you a transdermal testosterone cream or gel and have you put it on in the morning and wash it off at night. With that, we can kick your levels up to anything we want. And generally, you know, I'm shooting for 150 to 180, whereas the average man that comes in the clinic is somewhere around 50 or 55. So we're looking at basically tripling their native testosterone levels. And you just can't do that with the supplements. You have to actually have prescription testosterone.
Now, okay. If
you're trying to get weight down, that is more a function of diet and overall activity than it is testosterone. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Weight, there's 3,600 calories in 1 pound of fat. So if you want to lose 1 pound, you have to eat 3,600 calories less than you burned.
Mm-hmm.
So 500 calorie a day differential will give you 1 pound a week.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can increase your exercise by 250 calories a day and decrease your eating by 250 calories a day, that'll give you about 4 pounds a month that you'll take off.
Yeah. I've been making some changes in my diet recently. I've cut out a lot of things.
Okay.
A lot of extra fats and trying to eat more protein.
Okay. And then more fiber. Okay. Lots and lots of fiber in your diet. Lots of veggies. It fills your stomach. It keeps you full longer. You don't get hungry right away, so you don't have to rush out and snack. And you said the magic words, stop snacking. Eat your breakfast, eat a modest lunch, eat a modest dinner, no later than 6 o'clock at night. And then don't snack in the evening so that your stomach is really empty when you go to sleep at night. Okay? Because what's going to happen at night is your metabolism is going to slow to its lowest point of a 24 hours. If you got food in your gut when you go to bed, you're going to digest that food and you're going to store that extra energy as fat. Whereas if you go to go to bed with nothing in your stomach, nothing in your gut, then you're going to live till sun comes up. And the only place you're going to get the energy to live is by burning fat.
You said no later than 6 o'clock in the evening. For eating.
That's right.
I have changed that a little bit. I've been eating anywhere between 5 and 7, maybe 7:30.
Yeah, try to move it a little earlier. And then, if you don't have breakfast till 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, you've gone over 12 hours. 12 to 14 hours without eating is probably the ideal for shifting your metabolism.
All right. Well, I will work on that, and I'll call you back in a few months when I've got all this extra weight off of me.
Okay.
Let you know how it's doing.
Sounds
good
to me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. So, did we just go back from a break? I don't think so.
I don't think so, no. I think we're about 4 minutes late, actually.
Yeah, actually, let's do that. I think if I hear music now, that'll be able to tell me.
Yep, that's music.
And it's tequila. And it's a football day for the locals. Yeah?
Sounds good to me.
I'm in for that. I think I might watch the game later if I can find a place where I don't have to pay for it. That's what they're doing now. They're really...
Yeah.
Thursday night football was $7.50 if you want to see that. Yeah. Not instead of the network. Anyway, That's a complaint. We got that complaint out of the way. Now we'll go on to something else. We have Rick in Seattle and Rick in Renton, both on the line waiting. We'll come back to their calls. Room for you at 1-888-312-5757. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, of course, with Dr. Jerry Mixon and me, Jerry Berg, sitting in for Lynette Morgan this week. Dr. Umat and the whole crew will be back in 2 weeks. Next week, we have a recorded show that's made especially
for next week.
For next week.
Yep.
And also, I want to remind you, too, that Beautiful You, a program that is part of Longevity Medical Clinic, is coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be right back.
We'd just like to encourage your audience that hasn't to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know.
Ah, yes. Referring to love as a game is a young man's conceit.
One of my favorite songs.
Yes.
Yeah. We can listen to the whole thing, but I didn't put it on this track, so it's not all there.
We're good.
We're running out of music. We better get back to what we
Let's
came
go
for
back
today.
And
this is Leading Edge Medicine, live interactive talk radio, where you can call and get an opinion from the doctor, or a second opinion, or a first opinion before you go in and you're waiting to see the doctor for several weeks, and you're scared to death about what you think might be wrong with you. Give us a call at 1-888-312-5757. So, and I figured out, well, I think I called you several weeks ago when you were talking about trying to get someone was trying to get a doctor appointment and having trouble, and I described the situation where when you call to get an appointment, you talk to somebody who's probably sitting in their kitchen on their laptop with a screen in front of them, and the call is redirected to them. They look at the screen, and they give you the first available appointment on the sheet. And that's the mistake you have to get past, which is find the number to the doctor's office and ask for the nurse. And talk to the nurse that you have an urgent problem.
True.
You need to be seen. And I have invariably found an appointment waiting for me. Well, my sweetie just got an appointment 2 days later after she made one of those calls. So, yes. And for something, you know, that was a major thing to take care of. So that was good. Anyway, one of the secrets is out. So let's go to Rick in Seattle first up right now. Rick. How can we help you?
You know, that was a major thing to take care of.
Well, we still have the audio return coming several seconds deep here.
Let's go to Rick in Seattle first up right now. Rick, how can we help you?
Complete repeat of me, no echo, yeah. I don't think.
There we go.
Okay. Now, is Rick there?
Can you hear me?
I can,
hello?
Yeah.
Hello.
We just have a few technical issues, but we're getting past them. So, okay.
Okay. Here's the issue. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Got that under control. I have blood draws about every 8 weeks now. There's no evidence of the cancer at all now. There's just nothing.
Good.
So, I was wanting to help my blood circulation for a number of reasons that you've mentioned. I thought I could take a low dose of tadalafil, and the side effects, or not the side effects, but the results, I would welcome them, but that wasn't the main reason. It was just I thought it would help blood pressure, increase my blood circulation, and so forth. So I was going to go to my doc and get a prescription for a low dose of Cialis. And then I started doing some research on the internet. I don't remember which website I went to, but they talked about the good things about tadalafil, which convinced me more to go ahead and do it. And then they said one of the things you shouldn't, if you have this, you shouldn't take it, is multiple myeloma. And I wondered if there was anything to that.
I don't think
it's the multiple myeloma isn't, it's in remission or whatever. It's just not an issue right now. But I just didn't know if I should just stay away from it for that reason, that I've had the multiple myeloma 2 years ago.
Well, that is an interesting question, because I would be far more concerned if you actually had multiple myeloma. But, you know, you had it hidden. Boy, what do I do there? Hang on 1 second. I'm going to look at my papers. Let's see, because I've got papers on multiple myeloma. I've got a lot of papers here on tadalafil adverse effects. I'm going to see if I see anything on... Nope, I don't see anything there. Okay. No. I would not want you to take it if you had active multiple myeloma. I don't see anything, though, about my multiple myeloma in remission and tadalafil. So I don't have a paper. And when I don't have a paper to rely on, I kind of have to say, you know, I don't know. It's unfortunate. Hang on 1 second. Let me see.
I'm going to call for some.
Because it is listed in the drug information. Tadalafil, it says a relative contraindication is used with multiple myeloma. It doesn't say why. And multiple myeloma in remission, you don't actively have it. I don't know how hard that would be. Tell you what, I am going to write myself a note. To look up papers, see if there's anything published in the last couple of years, because the last paper I have that listed multiple myeloma as an issue was 3 years old. So it's actually late 2018. So let me see what has been published in the last few years, and maybe I'll be able to give you some reasonable answers. Now let's see, I'm out of town next week, so it'll be
week after.
Yeah, week after next. Yeah. No, wait a second. No, I'm gone 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm down in Albuquerque, and then I'm, so it's going to be, it'll be 3 weeks before I'm back.
How about if he writes you an email and...
Send me an email. It's just that this is one of those that I'd kind of like to be able to answer on the thing. But send me an email, because I am in town during the weeks. It's just the 2 weekends I have to be gone.
Do I address the email?
Go to lmclinic.com, and it says contact us. And on the email, say that you talked to me on the radio, that you had a multiple myeloma in remission, and that you are interested in whether or not it's safe to take tadalafil. And then the staff will, they always screen the things that come in. They sort them out, you know, supplement questions go here, finance questions go there, et cetera. The medical questions come to me, and I'll do a literature search and see what I can find. And then I can answer your question on email, but that'll also joggle for next time I'm on the air live. I can talk to the whole audience about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, will do. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Take care.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Rick.
Bye.
Time for us to take the final break of the program. We have Rick in Renton, James in Bellingham on the line waiting. We're going to come back in about 1 minute and talk to these guys. And maybe one more call. We might be able to slip one in. I can't promise, but if you want to get on hold, you'll be there if we can get to you. And more of Leading Edge Medicine right around the corner. Go to lmclinic.com. and click on the free health analysis appointment. Find out how you can get that free health analysis appointment. It is absolutely free, and it doesn't hurt, and it'll give you a good look into the future on where you're heading and what things might be wrong with you right now that the Longevity Medical Clinic can actually help you with. So check it all out. We'll be right back.
I think if visualize your final 10, 20 years of life, you know, what would it be worth to you to feel great all that time and probably live longer? I know you don't really claim that, but have a higher quality of life in your final 10 or 20 years, what would that be worth? Either you have the exact result you want or a good reason not to. So drop the reason I'm too busy. You're going to absolutely love it.
My love must be a kind of blind love.
All right.
This is called I Only Have Ice for You.
Oh, is that it? All right. Well, that's just if you came across the border.
Yeah.
So, but then ICE has been told to leave you alone.
ICE, but yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
During the break.
Yeah.
I went into PubMed and entered tadalafil and multiple myeloma. Any articles published in the last 3 years that cited those two comments.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the two papers that came up, both were people with active multiple myeloma that were put on tadalafil. And it actually enhanced their immune system's ability to fight the cancer.
Oh, really?
And improved their function. Now, that doesn't go well with the warning that the FDA put out, you know, years ago with tadalafil, saying that there's use in multiple myeloma was a contraindication.
Yeah.
Because these two papers indicate that the tadalafil, in both cases, actually helped the person with multiple myeloma. So, you know, I think what will happen is when the fellow calls, I will just send him these two papers.
Yeah.
Because they, now they're small. One of them is a fellow with end-stage multiple myeloma. He was near dying. They put him on the tadalafil and his immune response improved dramatically. Now it's an N of one. It's not much of a paper. It's a case report, not a study.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you always.
When you're dying from cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having the tadalafil. And then, the other paper is on tumor myeloid-derived suppressor cell function, and they found that both tadalafil and vardenafil, that's Levitra and Cialis, both helped to restored T-cell proliferation and improve their peripheral blood mononuclear cells. So they got better.
Yeah.
So these two papers would indicate that it might be a good thing to use tadalafil with multiple myeloma. Nevertheless, you're still stuck with that FDA warning from years and years ago. So
yeah, well, they're not always up to date.
No, they're not.
No.
Anyway.
And when you're taking care of your own body, you do whatever you need to do. And for me, if I got the word that something was going to help like that, and it was broccoli and cauliflower, I would probably eat them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Well, in this case, we got a relatively innocuous, but you know, we know that this compound helps prostate cancer, squamous cell cancers, breast cancers.
Yeah.
And now we've got two papers saying it helps multiple myeloma. So
why not?
Yep. Not quite sure where to go with that. But certainly if I was in remission, I'd be more inclined to take it, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Let's jump down to Renton now and talk to Rick. And Rick's been waiting for a while. Thanks for holding, Rick.
Thank you. I have a question about cartilage health and what you can do to rebuild cartilage. Had an auto accident, damaged cartilage in one of my joints. And is there anything that can improve cartilage health? And then the maybe related question regarding digestion, if you're on something like omeprazole, does that make it more difficult for your body to maintain cartilage health? And is there anything to do about that?
Omeprazole helps prevent you from absorbing all of the charged ions, also the B vitamins. I don't know that it does much of anything with the growth factors that would impact cartilage. But I do know that omeprazole is one of those things that we try to limit the use to the lowest dose and the lowest frequency necessary. If we can correct reflux symptoms and so on by some other means, we do. So I think that's about the most I can go with that one. The cartilage growth, yes, it is possible to regrow cartilage. PRP, autologous stem cell infusions, both have been shown to improve cartilage growth and healing. I'm trying to think what the chondroitin sulfate with MSM. There was a two-year study that showed that over a two-year period, there was some improvement in the joint spacing, indicating that the cartilage was probably getting thicker. They didn't actually open the joints and biopsy them, though, but the X-ray studies showed that pain decreased, inflammation decreased, and the joint spacing improved. So chondroitin sulfate in the long run, over a two-year period, can help at least in one study. But I know for sure that taking the MSCs out of your own bone marrow, isolating the stem cells and injecting those with PRP into the joint, has been very clearly shown to help grow new cartilage.
Okay. Is that considered experimental? Is that something that insurance usually will pay for?
Insurance does not cover it. Nope. Medicare doesn't cover it, so insurance doesn't cover it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's the problem you've got is insurance coverage versus science. The science gallops along. Insurance, including Medicare, the goal is how little money can we spend and still stay out of court. And so, you know, they don't want to pay for anything they don't have to. But if they're afraid of getting sued for not paying for it, then it goes on the pay-for list. But it has to be so well established that they're afraid of getting sued if they don't approve it. That's really what it comes down to.
So chondroitin sulfate plus MSM, anything else that I should
Those
consider?
Are the biggies. Modest exercise. Sedentary lifestyles cause inflammation. So sedentary lifestyles actually cause joints to degenerate faster. So you have to use the joint. You need to stress it a bit. You can't stress it so much that you get a big inflammatory reaction, because the inflammation damages the cartilage. So there's what you need is what we refer to as microinflammation. Just enough stress on the cartilage to trigger growth factors, but not so much that you get an overwhelming inflammatory reaction that destroys cartilage. So it's kind of a balance. Do as much as you can do without causing pain.
Okay, Rick?
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yep, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you so much. Let's jump to Bellingham now and talk to James quickly. James, make it as quick as possible, if you would, please. And welcome to the program.
63-year-old. I'm already on testosterone replacement therapy with a clinic in that area. I'm looking at switching to Longevity Medicine, and we're also looking to move to the Philippines in late this year. So I'm wondering how that would work. I've heard some of the other discussion before by Dr. Mixon, but I'm wondering on how that would work in getting medications sent to the Philippines, along with me coming back twice a year back here to check on things that I need to check on.
Yeah. Okay. With the Philippines, it's kind of a special case. We do have people in other countries. You know, I actually had a diplomat in Singapore for several years, and we used to just ship her stuff out in the diplomatic pouches. which was kind of neat. I've got a guy in Norway. We don't have trouble getting him his medicine to Norway. The Philippines, on the other hand, are very tight about just confiscating any drugs or medications that come in.
Or charging duties on them.
Yeah, and it is outrageous. I mean, I know a fellow who's just on one of the common over-the-counter meds, and his family keeps trying to send it to him, and it disappears at customs.
Okay.
So in the Philippines, if you were here twice a year, we would probably send you out with a six-month supply of your medication, and you can bring your own medicines in with a prescription, but we can't ship it to you in the mail like we would for some countries.
Okay. All right, that answers that. I appreciate it. One other quick question is, I have a doctor recommending I add IGF-1. I'm a read up on that. I don't really understand why I would do that if I'm not using growth hormone, because the reading I do indicates that two should go together.
And I they do, actually. Growth hormone triggers the production of IGF-1. That's how we measure how much growth hormone you've got in your system, actually.
Yeah, we are out of time.
We're out of time, unfortunately, and this is one I'd love to answer. But
I'll catch you next time.
Okay, talk to you next time, Mama. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. I'd like to use just a couple of seconds to tell anybody who has acid reflux and it goes away on its own without any medications or any help from a doctor, you better see a doctor and make sure it's not silent reflux, acid reflux, because what that's doing is probably eating away at your esophagus. Anyway.
And it can trigger esophageal cancers.
Absolutely. So, anyway, I want to tell you, we're running out of time. I'm going to be back in a couple of weeks, but the program continues. And we already told you that next week it's going to be recorded. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless America, everyone.